to the Lord. Yes, tell me where could I go? Now where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul.
That's not just a song, that's real. That's the truth. Where could we go but to the Lord? How many of you ever seen times in your life, practically every day you live probably, that things that you just can't take care of it yourself? You need intervention. You need divine intervention. Aren't you glad we've got a source to go to? Aren't you glad He loves us and answers our prayers and cares about our needs tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say glory. So good to be in church tonight. Glad you're here. Just what an awesome opportunity it is once again to be in the house of the Lord. Brother Gary's back in service with us, out of the hospital, back in service with us tonight. Praise the Lord for that. He had some episodes, but the Lord has brought him through it. And well, we just thank God for Brother Gary Hare, don't we? Just love that guy. We got some wonderful musicians on this platform, church. I'm going to tell you that right now. Wonderful musicians on this platform. And we love them, and I know you love them as a congregation, and we certainly appreciate them. It's good to be in church on Wednesday night. I probably look like I just jumped out of the shower and walked in here. I got soaked coming in here, but it was worth getting soaked to be able to come to the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Let's stand to our feet just for a few minutes, if you will. Why don't you? You may have to move around just a little bit, but why don't you shake somebody's hand tonight? Go to them, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in the house of God on Wednesday night. Oh, tell me where could I go? Oh, where could I go? To the Lord. praise the Lord. If you will, we don't have that many requests tonight. Just remain standing for a few minutes. Understand Bible school is quite a smashing hit again this year. If you haven't been over and seen just what all has taken place inside that pavilion, you need to just drive by there and see that. I took some little Debbies over there on Monday, and Michael gave me the grand tour, and I'm telling you, it's just, you just don't think a country boy like Michael Bailey could do something like that. But he and all the helpers that are there laboring with him, they have just done an outstanding job, and the kids are just having an absolute wonderful time. Our pastor was so taken with it that he's there preaching tonight. So how about that? We just pray that the Lord just give them a wonderful time in the Lord. And I know the kids are excited. I know the teachers have really put their hearts into it. And in all honesty, if you got a few minutes to drive over there and look at what's going on, it's just about take your breath away. It really will. So we just thank God that we've got workers in the church that care, that absolutely care. Are you glad you got people that care? What if we didn't have nobody that cared? So we're thankful for that. I want to take this prayer request to you tonight. I want to remember little Eliana Parker. She was admitted to the hospital for vomiting and dehydration. So let's certainly pray for her that the Lord would just, I know her little heart's desire would be in Bible school. So let's pray for that family, that little child tonight. Brother Brandon Green sends this in to please remember the Stewart family from West Virginia in prayer. Our good friend Matthew Stewart went on to be with the Lord suddenly on this past Wednesday at a very young age of 46. The family has had much loss in their lives and needs much comfort. God bless you. We love you, Brandon and Amy. So let's remember the Stewart family, that the Lord would just comfort their hearts and be with them during this loss. And we just pray that God will help them tonight. Thank the Lord for a healthy baby for Ben and Alex. Somebody say praise the Lord for that. Amen. Please continue to pray for Alex. She had a C-section yesterday, is having surgery tomorrow for kidney stones. She is experiencing a lot of pain, so we certainly want to pray for her tonight, the child, and Brother Ben, that the Lord just be with them and be with Sister Alex in this surgery that she's going to be facing. So let's remember that need tonight. If you would, please pray for Rodney Maples, a friend of ours in the intensive care unit at the medical center. So let's remember that need tonight. Brother Eric Krause offers this testimony of thanks. Thank you for your prayers concerning my knee repair last week. Surgery went well and recovery is going great. I believe he's here tonight in the running the booth back there. So Brother Eric, God bless you. We're glad you're doing well. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Please pray for Teresa Farmer. She has had custody of her grandson since he was just a toddler. Last year, the court gave his dad visiting rights. Even though he has never paid any child support, she is a fine Pentecostal Christian, always kept the child in church. And the judge is seeming to side with the father, and they're just asking that a divine intervention would be brought about, that she can keep the child and keep it in the house of the Lord. And well, we know church has got a great influence on everybody. Children, starting with children, it's got a tremendous influence on their little lives. So let's just pray that the Lord will work all the details out concerning that. You have an unspoken request tonight you'd like for this assembly to pray about. How many of you believe we're serving a prayer answering God? You believe that with all your heart? Brother Wade Altman, would you come tonight? Take us to the Lord in prayer. We appreciate our brother, don't we, so very much. The Altman family, they're just good folks, aren't they? God bless you, Brother Wade. Appreciate you, buddy.
Let's bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, we come before you once again tonight, Lord Jesus. We just thank you and praise you for another opportunity to be in your house, Lord God. We love you. We appreciate you. We thank you for your mercy and grace in our lives, Lord Jesus. And we just thank you for everything that you're doing, Lord God. We thank you for the Bible school out there for the children, Lord God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you made a way, Lord God, for Brother Michael to be able to prepare everything, Lord Jesus. We give you all the glory and honor for that, Lord God. We pray that something good will be done for it, Lord Jesus. We pray for our pastor tonight, Lord God, as he does the service out there. And for the speaker here tonight, Lord God, we pray that you would anoint him in a special way, Lord Jesus. Father, give us what we have need of tonight, Lord God. We're a needy people, Lord Jesus. And these prayer requests that went forth, Lord God, this loss of a loved one, Lord God, we pray that you would intercede in their behalf, Lord God. Comfort them, Lord God. And for our brother Ben, Lord God, and their new baby born, Lord Jesus, we pray you would be with them and his wife, Lord Jesus. Take care of them, Lord God. Increase each and every one of our faith, Lord God. We know there's nothing too hard for you, Lord Jesus. We just love you. We appreciate you. We thank you for every test and trial that we must go through, Lord God. We know that's bringing us to the stature of a perfect man, Lord God. We love you and appreciate you, Father. We ask that you bless the remaining parts of this service, Lord God. Bless the musicians, Lord God. Anoint Brother Louis in a special way. We love you and appreciate you. We ask these things in the precious name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for the wait. God bless you, buddy. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in the service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that would be streaming this service tonight, we just pray that this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Brother Terry Horn's going to be speaking for us tonight, and we just want to pray for our brother that the Lord would just give him words that would just stir our souls. I believe God's able to custom fit this service just for you tonight. Do you believe that with all your heart? Somebody say praise the Lord. Brother Eric, see if you can find that song on the screen for us tonight. Clap your hands, clap your hands. Everybody, clap your hands. We clap for a lot of things, but let's clap them for the Lord tonight. You want to do that? Sing it, buddy.
When I first found this holiness way, all my night was turned to day. Now my friends don't understand.
Oh yes.
Why sing and clap my hands? I clap my hands. I clap my hands. Oh, everybody clap your hands.
Oh, let's sing it unto the Lord.
Sister Jessica Benton, I believe, is here tonight, has a song. If she'd come onto the platform. Is that right, Brother Larry? She has a song for us tonight. If she would come onto the platform, be getting ready to sing. Let's sing this little song tonight. If you can't help me, you need not try to stop me. Because we ain't got no brakes. We can't stop this thing. It's going. This thing is going. Is that right? Praise the Lord. Start it for me.
If you can't help me, please don't stop me. Move out of my way. Don't try to block me. Got a race to run.
Say praise the Lord. Give Sister Jessica Benton a nice hand tonight as she sings. As you're seated tonight, God bless you.
After what's behind, but you're doing a new thing, you're making new streams, so we open up our lives. Spirit, fill us with living water. We know your well will not run dry. Presence will find our light.
time, Brother Larry Elliott's new CD that you've been listening to pre-service. You still have those available in the library if you'd like to pick one up. I know it would be a blessing to you, to your home and your automobile as you're driving down the road. So appreciate the efforts that Brother Larry put into that. It was a lot of hard work. I believe Brother Brandon is helping on that some. Is that right, Brother Larry? So just a lot of talent, and a lot of work went into that, and I believe it'd be a blessing to you. We're going to sing a song where Brother Harry's going to lead us in a chorus. We got a wonderful song leader right here, don't we? Don't you appreciate him? Same. What a beautiful name it is, church. Amen. Don't ever take it for granted. He's done too much for every one of us. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you.
You were the Word in the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory and creation now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King.
What a song. What a song. What a beautiful name. What a powerful name. He said in another song, he said, I'm going to let you use my name to defend yourself. That's a pretty powerful name. We got a powerful devil, and he's mighty, but he's not almighty. Even greater is he that's within us than he that's in the world. We got a lot to cover tonight, and we even have a a baptism at the end, so we don't want to hold long. And we have all the young people, the children at Vacation Bible School, and I certainly appreciate all the teachers, Brother Michael Bailey, and the efforts, the work, the labor that's gone into that. Really, really tremendous. And I certainly say, I won't say publicly, I appreciate that. We appreciate them with all my heart. Appreciate Amos and Lisa. They, I think last Sunday was their last service, and Brother Donnie mentioned about that. And we love them too, and we miss them. But Brother Amos was my song leader for about almost 7 years when I was pastor, and Lisa was my piano player. And so they're just real precious people. We love them too. And God's got some real nice people. Yeah. You know, but you think about it, why we love Brother Mamps so much. It's not because of the man, it's the Spirit of Christ in the man. There's nobody good. I'm not good, you're not good, Brother Donnie's not good, nobody's good, but it's the Christ in the person that makes anybody good. There's nothing in us that's good. But how much of Christ do we let reign and be preeminent in our life? That's the main thing. Turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 13, while you're standing, 13 through 17. You can have it.
Okay, I'll take it.
Amen. Appreciate you, Brother. I love Brother Louie. Yeah. I do. Amen. He's a good, he's right up there. Yeah, he's almost equal to Brother Harry on service leading, singing, isn't he? We want to have a VBS tonight also. Maybe not a Vacation Bible School. How about a Vacation Bible Study? Would you like to learn a little something about the Bible tonight? Yeah. If you listen real good, we might learn a little something tonight. I've said a lot of things about modern Israel, and I love to, don't get me started on Israel, but I want to talk a little bit about ancient Israel and some of the things they did wrong. We've talked about what modern Israel has done right. Let's talk about a couple of things that ancient Israel done wrong. And they're used for our examples. So if we can see what they did wrong, we'll be sure not to do that same thing again. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. You got your, well, they'll have it on the board. Read with me and follow along. It says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, that's our subject for these, that's not a subject for the lesson, that's the subject for these verses of Scripture. Shall be saved. How then, what's now, what's the focus, hearing and believing? How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except be sent? He's given the mechanics of this now. But the focus is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they preach except they be sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, bring glad tidings of good things. Romans 10:16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? Now this is coming from Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report? So then, so now he's, verse 17, he says, so then, or as a result of verse 16, he said, who has believed our report? So we're talking about faith and obedience already. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, right before you're seated, notice there's something really, really interesting here. If you read this out of the emphatic dialogue, which is just the original Greek word by word, it says faith comes from a report. Faith comes by hearing, King James. Faith comes from a report, and the report through the word of God. The report. So we're going to talk about the report a little bit tonight. So we'll bow our heads and pray. Lord Jesus, we just read five or six scriptures here, verses of scripture, but it just has such a lot in there. If you help us to bring it out, we want to study and go back and find some applications and principles out of the Old Testament that would help us along. I pray, Lord, that you would just anoint the people to believe, to receive, to hear, to pull, to be attentive. Lord, anoint me to speak, to say only what you would have me to say, and close my mouth to anything that would not be edifying or beneficial. to your children, Lord. Give us what we have need of tonight. We love you. Thank you that we have the privilege to being back in church again one more time. We ask for your leadership and guidance in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody says, amen. Amen. You can be seated. As Isaiah said, who hath believed our report? Faith comes from the report, and the report through the Word of God. So then faith comes from a report. Now this report must run. You got to run it through the Word of God, and it must be channeled through the Word of God. It's got to be backed up by the Word of God. And so if we want genuine faith, we better be real careful what report we listen to, because faith comes through the report. Now here's the report right here. Okay, faith comes by hearing, and that by the Word of God. But it's got to be channeled through this report. Now, who hath believed our report? When we think about that and dealing with this thought, I want to go back and I want to kind of show some of the effects of the children of Israel at Kadesh Barnea. And it's really striking when you really find out and research what really happened at Kadesh Barnea. It's a real game changer, because many of the things that we just maybe didn't know, we didn't learn, we didn't study out or whatever, and you find out really what happened, you see why they did what they did. Isaiah 53:1, who hath believed our report, and to whom the arm of the Lord is extended? The whole chapter has 12 verses. Isaiah 53 deals with, of course, the Messiah and the sufferings of the Messiah, spoken 712 years before Christ was ever born. But we would ask a question. When Isaiah said that, how many believed that report? Well, probably none. Even himself, he didn't even understand it, you know, about the sufferings of the Messiah, but he spoke it under inspiration. But then when Christ came on the scene, how many believed the report then? I think Brother Bram said one place, maybe only 1% of the people even knew that the Messiah was on the earth. So who has believed our report? And then we could bring it on, you know, Malachi 4. It was, of course, Malachi, I think, was written some 400 years before Matthew. Who have believed the report then? Probably even Malachi, when he didn't even know what he was talking about, Malachi 4, Elijah, and so forth. But then we would ask the question, in 1963, how many believed the report? And then I ask the question today, how many believes the report today? I mean, really believes the report today. If we see a lot of falling away, then we ask the question, how many have really, really believes this report? Now, a report is a bunch of words. And this is really striking when you look at it this way, because we know John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And, you know, John, of course, was referring to the Logos, and the Logos being the Word, and the word Logos means Word. And so we know words are means to express one's inner thoughts. Words. That's how you express your inner thoughts. But now, how could you express your inner thoughts if you couldn't talk? Until somebody knows words, he really can't formulate words into expression, like a little baby. A little baby, he's born, he don't know any words, you know. He cries, how do you know what he wants? Well, you stick a bottle in his mouth, tell him to shut up. You don't know what, maybe he wants something else, you know. But I mean, you just assume that's what he wants. But I guess it works for a while, but he don't know any words. He don't know how to express himself, except cry. But to be able to express yourself through words, you take words and you can formulate thoughts and you can express. What about a person that can't talk? I even got to talk about my son Dallas. He's 35, I think, now. He's autistic. He's never spoken a word that we know of, being able to understand. How does he communicate? Well, we've never really had fellowship with him because he can't really express himself. Well, one day we will. I got that promise. When God lets me call that little spirit or whoever that's on a journey and he gets his right mind back, we'll have fellowship with him. If not even on this side, we certainly will on the other side. But I believe on this side before we leave. But unless you know words, how can you express yourself? So God's a spirit. Now he's going to express himself. He needs to express himself to humans. So God wanted to express himself to humans. He wanted to become human. So we know that God's words became the Word. So Christ is the expression of God. He is God's words. That's why we said he is the Word. We believe the Word of God. But this Word of God is God's words, his expression to us. And I'm laying this foundation for a reason. So Christ is the very heart of God. Christ is the words of God, or the Word of God. Christ is a revelation of God. He's the most inner thoughts of God. And Christ is the eternal Word, the living Word, the creative Word, the incarnate Word. Then I ask you, how many has believed this report? We believe this report. Okay, now, having said that, why we want to, why is it so extremely to believe the Word, believe what God said, don't doubt what God said, don't doubt God's prophets, don't question God's prophets. We should never question God, neither should we ever question His prophet. And we want to see why it's so fatal to do that. And, you know, we can kind of bring this up to date, why people are falling away, why people are leaving the message, why people, you believe the sign, whatever, you know, you can kind of read this, read between the lines as we go on. There's only one major sin, that's unbelief, we know that. So, you say, do people question God today? Oh yes, yes, because they're questioning God's prophet. You question the prophet, you're questioning God, very simple. Samuel, you know, and the king and so forth, he said, you know, they didn't reject me, they didn't reject you, Samuel, it's me, you know. So we know that. So we find out. Now, one of the most important principles happened at Kadesh Barnea. In fact, the church right now stands at Kadesh Barnea. Let's look at this first quote, question and answers, paragraph 452. The tabernacle right now stands at Kadesh Barnea. Look, them people, we're right now at Kadesh. Those them people were so close till they even tasted the grapes out of the land. They eat the grapes. When Caleb and them went over there and brought back the grapes, them fellows pulled off some and eat them. Oh, they're good, but we can't do it. They have tasted the good work of God. They've tasted the Holy Ghost, seen the goodness of it, tasted of it, had tasted of the Word of God. See, not one of them ever was permitted to go over. They perished in their own land, over there in the wilderness. They never went over, yet they was close enough to taste of it. But not enough grace and faith, to take it. And you'll see in a minute how close they were at Kadesh Barnea. And another place he said, oh, brother, sister, we're at Kadesh Barnea, you're tasting. Another place he said, we're at Kadesh Barnea, and God's Word, we can take it. So we're getting ready to cross into our new land and promised land and take our land. So let's see really what happened at Kadesh, okay? Let's go back to Abraham and just get a little bit of background. Genesis 15 and 13. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, the Egyptians, and they, the Egyptians, shall afflict them, Israel, 400 years. So there's the prophecy. And also that nation, Egypt, whom they shall serve, will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. So the seed of Abraham will be in a strange land. And you know what happens when people stay in a strange land? They start listening to strange ideas. And they start believing strange ideas. And they become strange. It's not strange to believe that they become strange because they're in a strange land. Because that's all they've ever seen. They were down there 400 years. And remember, there was a famine up in Canaan when God sent children of Israel, children of Jacob, his family down there when Joseph was down there, and you know, when it all started, there was only about 70 souls. And Egypt was really such an unlikely womb for a nation to be birthed out of, because Israel was only about 70 at that time of the sons of Abraham down to Jacob's children. So about 70, so that's all there was of the what we would call the Jews back then. So they went down to Egypt, and out of Egypt was birthed 2.5 million people 400 years later. Remember, 2.5 million was birthed out of a nation of idolatry. Egypt, a land of idolatry. That's all they'd ever seen. And we were birthed out of a womb with a curse on it. The fall. That's all we ever knew. So you can see the background to begin with. We needed something. They needed something. Jacob and his family, they fared pretty well down in Egypt when Joseph was alive. But after Joseph died, rose up a Pharaoh who forgot the debt that Egypt owed to Joseph. And Israel multiplied. Egypt got very, very concerned. I'm going to kind of just go through this background a little more speedily, save time. They lost their freedom. They became slaves. Now in a land of bondage. Remember now, after about 300 years, after the Pharaoh that knew Joseph, after he died, and then arose up a Pharaoh that didn't know Joseph, then Egypt got kind of concerned because they were multiplying, and this wasn't good, and they thought, well, you know, we better curtail this or stop this. So what did they do? They put them in bondage, made them slaves. So remember, they were down there 300 years in a land of idolatry. That's all they ever saw. Israel was influenced by the idolatry in Egypt. That's all they saw. And that's I'm really emphasizing it for a reason. And when you think about, how about us, all the years, even before we were even saved or even coming to the message, we were around unbelief and idolatry and denominationalism. That's all we saw. We needed a change. We needed a revelation. We needed to have our eyes open. We needed some eye salve. We was in a strange land, born in a strange land. Before we come into the message, it was a strange land. And finally, their afflictions got so bad they cried for deliverance. Moses was born, raised in Pharaoh's house, tries to deliver Israel. Israel flees, goes to the desert wilderness, marries, has a family. Finally, he meets God in a burning bush. Returns to Pharaoh, says, let my people go. By this time, 2.5 million people, they were all excited, ready to go, ready to leave. Because they've been afflicted and they cried. They knew they had a promise of deliverance. Crying out deliverance. Now perhaps Moses is going to be the deliverer. But they were in bondage and they were beaten and they were mistreated. They were slaves. The babies killed. Horrible conditions. Just like today. We're living in horrible conditions. Like today. We're losing our freedom. Babies killed. Idolatry. Insanity. You name it. Perversion on every hand. It's getting worse and worse and worse. It's to a putrefaction state right now. We've had leaders and that didn't know Joseph, if you put it that way, Pharaohs, Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon, all the way down, Clinton, you name it. So where are we? We're in a land of idolatry. So they begin to see, when they come out of Egypt, they begin to see tremendous miracles when they left Egypt. They saw the 10 plagues, the 10 evil plagues, all of them on the Egyptians, none in Goshen. Wow, what a wonderful thing. None of them in Goshen. And they saw these miracles. And they found favor with Jehovah God. They come to the Red Sea. Moses, what must we do? God deliver us again. They begin to dance and shout, praise the Lord. Brother, sister, we're on our way to the promised land. Just in a few days, we're going to be there. Think about their mindset. We're going to a promised land. Israel's not that big. I mean, come on. It ain't got to travel 5,000 miles. It's just over a few mountain ranges. Yeah, Jehovah had promised them that land 400 years ago. They're getting ready to take it. In Exodus 3 and 8, he promised them that land. They knew this. In Exodus 3 and 8, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good land and a large, into a land flowing with milk and honey. Look at the promise. God promised them this tremendous land. In the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. This land actually belongs to somebody else. All these seven nations, they occupy the land of Canaan now. And God permitted that, actually orchestrated it for 400 years. But they absolutely knew that they had a promise to take this land or to inherit this land. Leviticus 20:24. But I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land. These seven nations, their land. And I will give it unto you to possess it. The reason I'm reading this is because God promised them, I'm giving you that land. Just like us, I'm giving you a rapture. I'm giving you a revelation. I'm giving you a way out of here. I'm giving you a pathway, a highway to get from this land to another land. I've given you this land. Go possess it. The land flows with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from your people. God always wanted Israel to be separated. God always wants his children to be separated. God always wants his bride to be separated. You're a separated people. And if you're not separated people, you're probably not one of his yet. Let's put it that way. Because you're going to live a separated life. So they have a promise. They have a covenant. They have a land of inheritance. And actually, watch this. God actually been preparing this land for this last 400 years. Seven nations. They farmed the land. They built cities. They built roads. They built houses. They dug wells. They raised corn. Getting the land ready for them. They didn't know it, but they were. Sure. Got the land all ready for the new inhabitants. They didn't know it, but they fixed up the land just for Israel. God knows all about the land. He's fixing it up for them. Y'all farm it, fix it up, build cities, build this, build that. I've got some people coming in that's going to take your land in 400 years. You got to look at it the way God looks at it. They didn't know that, but God knew it. I'm giving you this land. It's less than 150 miles from Egypt. Just go take this land. They were so happy and bubbling. They come out and seen the 10 miracles and the plagues and the Red Sea open. The Pharaoh's army drowned and so forth. They were just, oh, we'll be, 2 or 3 days, we'll be there. Right? Right. Right? Right. Spiritual amnesia. Notice what the prophet says here, spiritual amnesia. He says the same thing. And we find Israel had exposed, got exposed down in Egypt to the world and had fell into a rut. We could preach on that a while. And this prophet was sent to dig them out of it. What about us? What about us? Did he dig us out? Did he dig us out of the rut we was in? If he could, and to dig them, God by his grace chose Israel from all the rest of the families on the earth. Grace had did that. He had given them the choice lands. He gave them houses that they never had built. Talking about in Canaan, after they got there. God did that, chose them. He gave them farms they never bought. He gave them food they never planted. He gave them wells they never dug. He gave them victories that they never won. He gave them grace they never merited. Buddy, I just love that. God's got it all fixed up. He's got it all prepared. God did that by his grace for this people, Israel, his chosen, his beloved. And we can stop here and we can talk about what has God done for this bride right now? What has God done for us? How many, send us this word, send us this message, send us understanding, send us revelation, send us blessings. Not only information, but revelation and prosperity. I mean, there's so many wonderful things around this blessed message. So many wonderful things. Oh, it's just, and he said in the Bible, and he found her in the field as a little girl sitting there in her own blood, and he washed her up. You remember the story? And washed her and cleaned her up, and what he done. But after God showed all these mercy to her, and she got rich, she got amnesia, and she forgot all about where these things come from. I believe we could almost say, wake up. Now at Kadesh, this is where the plots really begins to thicken. Let's look at the power of decision, paragraph E62. Notice they came to Kadesh Barnea. And Kadesh Barnea was at one time the judgment seat of the world. The place had great big wells, big springs, and there was many little springs out from it, a palm grove-like in the desert. What a beautiful place. And we're going to learn a few things tonight. Kadesh ain't what we thought it was. What a beautiful place, a type, the great judgment seat of God in heaven where God's word is a law book and there's judgment at the white throne of heaven. And every little spring represented a church where the judgments of God go forth, preaching judgment. And when they come there, they were on the border of the promised land. Hallelujah. On the border, that's where they made their big mistake. They stopped at the border. Brothers and sisters, we are on the border of crossing in, crossing over, body change, rapture, taking our flight. That's why I said we're at Kadesh right now. He also said, speak to the rock, they made their fatal mistake when they failed to go on. They were on their journey, not many miles. They could have made it in a few days with 2 million people out in the desert if they just stayed on the path. But when they came to a place called Kadesh Barnea at one time, I'm told, was a great judgment seat. It says a great spring of well there, many little wells, a perfect type of the church. The church is the judgment seat. Where heaven is a great judgment seat of God, and little wells represent little churches out of it, and judgment begins at the house of God. Here's where the judgment begins. I can't understand. You know, judgment begins at the house of God. We're all got to stand before the judgment seat of God. Why don't people want to come to church? You're either going to receive your judgment here, or you're going to receive it over there. Which one? Worst place you want? I take mine right here. Give me mine right here. I don't want it over there. I can't stand it over there. There's no grace over there. There's no mercy over there. I want it now when there's mercy. Brother, remember, Brother Ben said, we are at Kadesh Barnea right now. Now, Kadesh Barnea was a special place. You know what Kadesh Barnea means? Kadesh means holy. Barnea means a desert of wandering. So Kadesh Barnea means a holy place in the desert of wandering. You know, brother, I just somehow I like that. No wonder we're at Kadesh Barnea. A holy place in a desert of wandering. Brother, sister, if there's anybody been caught up in heavenly places, this bride has. And if this ain't a desert of wandering, I ain't never seen one. Take up too much time preaching on that. I don't want to get distracted. But we are definitely in a desert of wandering. Look out into the world today. So it's a holy place in a desert of wandering. Kadesh was actually an oasis in a desert, in the desert of Paran, part of the desert of Zin, and then the Negev desert. God gave them a little oasis there, Kadesh Barnea. Okay, now, what happens? Deuteronomy 1:19. Let's read a little bit here. And when we departed from Horeb, we went through all the great and terrible wilderness which he saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, and the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said unto you, ye are come to this mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Watch this verse. Set the land before thee. Go up and possess it. As the Lord God thy fathers has said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged. Why did he say fear not, neither be discouraged? He knew there's going to be some battles. So he said, don't fear, don't be discouraged, but go possess the land. Go take the land. If Israel could have just got it in, settled in their heart right there, God was with them. God, in Deuteronomy 1:21 we just read, God set the land before them. He said, go up and possess it. Moses nor God, there wasn't one word said about, let's send out 12 spies. He just said, go take the land. He said it. Yeah, I set the land before you. Don't fear, neither be discouraged. It's going to be some battles, but it's your land. I've given you the land. I've prepared the land. Go take the land. I've got the land all fixed up for you. It flows with milk and honey. I've showed you all these miracles in Egypt. I've opened the Red Sea. I've destroyed Pharaoh's army. I've done this. I've done this. I've done this. It's your land. Go take the land. I've proved it. I've proved that I'll be with you. I've sent you a vindicated prophet. Go take the land. Brother, where are we in the message today? We've been given the same thing. We got a vindicated prophet. We got a word. We got a promise. We got a covenant. Go take the land. I mean, it's just real simple. Go take it. We don't question. We don't disbelieve it. We just say, we just manifest what he's ordained for us to do. And he said, I'm going to give you a little oasis for a short rest before you take it, a holy place in a desert of wandering, just before you cross over. Brother, hey, I know we're living in Satan's Eden, but hey, this is our little oasis. Amen. Gathered in heavenly places, hear the word of God. You talk about wells of water springing up, and it's seven-course meal. What an oasis. Remember now, as Brother Man said, the church is at Kadesh Barnea. Remember, Israel is a covenant people. The bride is a covenant people. Remember now, Israel never lost their covenant. They only lost their freedom while they were in Egypt. They didn't lose their covenant. God gave that covenant to Abraham, and that covenant will always be with them. They didn't lose the covenant. They just lost their freedom. And I could say a lot of things about Israel, but don't want to get sidetracked. Even Israel today, why is Israel blessed so much today? There's only 20% of the Jews in Israel today are even religious. 80% of them are not religious. They're just Jews. That's all they are, just Jews. Only 20% is religious at all. And they're not Christians. They didn't receive the Messiah. They're looking for the Messiah, 20%. But 80% of them, they're just Jews. But guess what? The covenant is still to the land of Israel. That's why God still blessed Israel, because the covenant is still valid. Has nothing to do with the righteousness of the Jews. It's because God promised it, and he's got to keep his covenant. How much, you see that with Israel? How much more God going to keep his covenant with his bride? You don't think he's going to take us over and see us over, see us through the squeeze and everything else? Sure he is. It's not based on my righteousness, it's based on his covenant. Israel's chosen, the bride's chosen. Israel had a vindicated prophet. The bride has a vindicated prophet. Then why can't we take the land? Why can't we take the rapture? Now, here's the game changer. Something you may not know, we want to find out. And this is the real key to their fatal mistake. At Kadesh, who requested the spy mission? You say, well, what does it matter? Well, that sounds like Hillary and Benghazi. What does it matter now? Well, there's four people got killed. And you say, well, what does it matter who requested a spy mission? Well, I'll tell you how much it matters. 2.5 million Israelites died. Eternal died. Eternal separation. They didn't make it. You know, what happened to Kadesh was real important. Who requested the spy mission? You say, well, why does it matter? It matters a whole lot. It's between life and death. A few minutes, I'll show you why. So you say, well, who requested a spy mission? Listen, God knew all about the land. He desired for him to go take the land. God had already proved that it was a good land. You know, they brought back the evidence. He's already seen the miracles for 2 years. See there, when they come to Kadesh Barnea, they're 2 years into the journey. So God knew all about the land. So he says, let's look at Numbers 13:1. He's telling them, go take the land. Numbers 13:1. And the Lord spake unto Moses. We're going to find out who requested the spy mission. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search out the land which I give unto the children of Israel. Every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. You say, well, there it is right there. That settled it. God said it. Well, is that the only scripture? No. Let me ask you. If I ask you a question, tell me, give me the scripture. Give me a scripture that teaches me how to be baptized correctly. You give me Matthew 28:19. Is that everything? Does that settle it? Oh, you got to take another scripture, don't you? When another scripture explains Matthew 28:19, doesn't it? So let's see if we can find out. So now if you go to Deuteronomy chapter 1, chapters 1 through 3, the setting in Deuteronomy 1 through 3 is the 39th year of their 40-year journey. And Moses is giving his farewell speech, almost 40 years since Egypt. And he's given a fresh, detailed review of the wilderness experiences. And he's trying to explain to the younger generation, because they're the only one that crossed over, that generation who, why is so important to believe God and not to distrust God, not to disbelieve God, and not to doubt God. He's showing them why it's so important to believe God. Deuteronomy chapter 1:1, 2, and 3. And so he gives a whole sequence of the wilderness journey. Now, they have it on the screen. I want you to follow me in Deuteronomy chapter 1. Start verse 19. And when we departed, you're going to see something you maybe you never ever seen. I didn't see it till just a few months back. And when we departed from Horeb, we went through all the great and terrible wilderness, which we saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. Remember Moses speaking now 38 years later, recapping all the events. And I said unto you, you are coming to the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give us unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it. Why didn't they take it right then? As the Lord thy God, the God of thy fathers, has said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged. Here it is, verse 22. And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land and bring us word again by what way we must go up and into what cities we shall come. What? The congregation requested it. It's right there in the Bible. And the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe. I thought God did it. Well, you see, Deuteronomy 1:22 is the explanation scripture for Numbers 13 and 3, just like Matthew Acts 2:38 is the explanation scripture for Matthew 28:19. So what do we have here? The congregation, they think about it. God didn't need a spy mission. When you think about it, this whole thing about a spy mission, God gave them the land. He told him to go take the land. Why did he need a spy mission? He knew all about it. He got it all fixed up for him. It wasn't God that did it. It was the people that did it. It's right there in the Bible. Let's read it again. And ye came unto me, Moses speaking, ye came unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men. I don't know, we better check this thing out. We will send men before us, and they shall search out us out the land, and bring us word again by what way we must go up into what cities we shall come to. They said, but we better check this thing out. Why do you want to check it out? God's already checked it out. Go take the land. Listen, that's exactly what happened with this Believe the Sign movement. They said, we better check out the bridge. We better check this out. We better check that. You know what happened? Because they said we better check it out. What happened to those people? Went this way. They went that way. If they just left it alone and just believed what the prophet had said, they'd have never got themselves in trouble. But they wanted to research it and find it in some kind of a scientific explanation for it. Just leave it alone. Just say what God said. Just believe the prophet and go forward. That's all you need to do. Just believe the prophet and go forward. But the people, the congregation, they're the ones that requested the spy mission. You know why? Because they doubted. They didn't believe to begin with. So you say, well, why did God do it that way? First, he said, one scripture says, you know, God ordained it. God said, do it like that. Well, it's just like Balaam. Just like Balaam. Same thing with Balaam. God said, Balaam, don't go. Well, he just kept on and kept on and kept on. He said, well, if you're going to just, well, go ahead on. If you're going to do it that way, go ahead on. But God's perfect will was, don't go, Balaam. But they kept badgering God and getting counsel. And well, I can get a better fee up here, a little bit more money. So what, if that's the way you want to do it, just go ahead on. It wasn't God's will to begin with. Same thing. If you don't want to take God's perfect will, his first counsel, I don't know. Have it your way. But that's the same thing they want. Well, we better check this thing out. You get yourself in trouble trying to check something out scientifically. Just believe what he said. Go forward. That's what kind of people God's trying to get. Somebody just take him at his word. Just believe what he said and go on. Okay, so now we got Israel. They sent out the spies, 12 spies. 10 come back with an evil report. 2 come back with a good report. I'll ask you, if you was there that day, which report would you believe? We're talking about who have believed our report? In fact, the title of the message, Believing the Right Report. Which report would you believe? The whole congregation? You got 10 come back, we can't make it. 2 come back, we're more than able to take it. Which one are you going to believe? Which one would you have believed if you'd been there? Well, I can tell you right now, in the state that I am right now, which I would have been the state then, I said, Joshua, Caleb, let's go get it. Let's go get it. Don't listen to those 10 false preachers. Let's go take it. All right, let's read a little bit in Numbers 13 and 32. Let's read just a little bit about this as we go on and see. This is tremendous. Numbers 13, 32. And they brought up an evil report. These 10 spies come back. They brought up an evil report of the land. How can they get an evil report of a land when God said the land's flowing with milk and honey? God said it's a goodly land. It's a large land. How do you get an evil report out of what God's chosen for them? Evil report of the land which they had searched into the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Giants, men of great stature. That never bothered David. I never bothered David. Lord, how big is this man? How can you miss a giant like that? Well, they saw all those giants in there, the sons of Anak. As Brother Donnie said, Anak only had 2 sons, but, you know, there were other giants, you know, by that. But who cares how big they are? If God promised it, let's go take it. They're not bigger than Jehovah. Verse 33, and there we saw, Saul, the giants, sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. Who told them that lie? They never talked to any of the giants. So how did they know they were like grasshoppers in their sight? How'd they know that? Tell me, how did they know that? Somebody formulated an idea and made an opinion and an observation that was a lie to begin with. They didn't talk to the giants, but they're saying we are like grasshoppers in their sight. How do they know that? And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation, not just part of them, the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness. You realize they just pronounced their own curse. By your words, you're either justified, or by your words, you're either condemned. They just pronounced their own curse. Would to God we'd have died in the wilderness. Well, you just got your curse. That's what, did they die in the wilderness? Absolutely. Just pronounced their own curse. Would to God we had died in Egypt, or would to God we died in the wilderness? Be careful what you say. 14 verse 3, and wherefore hath the Lord, now they're going to blame God. Wherefore hath the Lord brought us into the land to fall by the sword. They want to blame Moses, now they're going to blame Jehovah. Fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey. Were it not better for us to return into Egypt, back into that severe bondage, back under the Pharaoh, back there, back to denomination, back to the world? Tell me why. Where can we go back? There's no place back to go. Going back is not an option. And they said one to another, this is so hard to believe. They said one to another, let us make a captain and return unto Egypt. Can you believe that? That they would say that. Let me read you what one commentary said about this. Here was a formal renunciation of the authority of Moses and a flat rebellion against God. Their lives were made bitter in Egypt, and yet they were willing, perhaps even eager, to go back to the same circumstances again. Quote, great evils in times past affect the mind less than present ills, though much inferior. They had partly forgot their Egyptian bondage and totally lost sight of their high calling. Make us a captain, take us back. God expected faith and expected obedience, but they murmured and complained and rejected the authority, and they flat rebelled against Almighty God. Let's read Nehemiah. Here's another account of Nehemiah. This is really striking. We'll just skip a little bit. Let's skip down to verse 15, save time. Nehemiah 9:15. And gave us, talking about the children of Israel in their journey, and gave us them bread from heaven, and for their hunger, and brought us forth water for them out of the rock of their thirst. This is in Nehemiah now, not in Deuteronomy or Numbers. Water out of the rock for their thirst, and promised them that they should go in and possess the land which thou hast sworn to give them. God swore he's going to give them the land. But they and our fathers dealt proudly, they were arrogant, and hardened their necks, and hearkened not unto thy commandments. Nehemiah 9:17, and refused to obey. Neither were mindful of thy wonders, all the miracles they saw. Neither were they mindful of the wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. They actually appointed a captain. They didn't go back, but they actually appointed a captain. We got a man. We selected the man who's going to take us back. Wow. Wow. What more could God do for them? He gave them a pillar of fire. He gave them a pillar of cloud. He gave them manna. He gave them water. There wasn't no plagues in Goshen. They parted the Red Sea, destroyed Pharaoh's armies. They showed his presence at Sinai. They gave them a little oasis at Kadesh Barnea. They promised land flowed with milk and honey. They gave them the law. They gave them the priesthood. They gave them a vindicated prophet. What more could Jehovah God to do? And yet they disbelieved. What more could he do? So what do we have? We got Israel had to make their choice. Which report to believe? Talking about choosing the right report. Two spies positive report, 10 spies negative. Now, the effect of the evil report. You had 2 came back with the grapes, 10 came back with the gripes. 10 spies brought an evil report. It was not God's will for them to wander the wilderness 40 years. That was punishment. One day for 1 year. 40 days seeking out searching out the land. Wasn't God's, God never initiated, as I said, the spy mission. They wanted it. So they stayed there 40 years. Well, because you went over there 40 days rather, I'm going to keep you in the wilderness 40 years. Punishment. God's will was to go from Kadesh Barnea, about 4 days' journey, you're in the promised land. That's simple. They were already 2 years from Egypt, 38 more years they had to be punished in the wilderness. And they died spiritually. But they could not enter because of their unbelief. 10 unconsecrated leaders who depended on strength and numbers instead of God. Let's look at these 10 evil men brought an evil report. 10 false leaders brought back an evil report. 10 false preachers brought back an evil report. Wow. They're leaders, preachers, leaders. Because they doubted God and said they despise the promised land. Psalms 106:24. Yea, they despise the pleasant land. They believe not his word, but murmured in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Therefore he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness. What happened these 2 years? They saw the 10 evil plagues on the Egyptians. Now they saw 10 evil preachers brought back an evil report, fall on them because of this unbelief. Don't miss this. The ill fate of 2 million Israelites at Kadesh Barnea was solely the result of the negative influence and recommendation of 10 men. Why didn't they just believe Joshua and Caleb? Go take the land. Why did they believe the 10, and which brought back an evil report? God gave them the land. 10 preachers talked them out of the land. You might as well face it. That's what happened. God gave them the land, and 10 preachers talked them out of the land. God gave us this message. Ain't nobody going to talk me out of this message. Ain't nobody going to talk you out of this message. God gave me this land. Brother Branham said, our homeland is the message of the hour. That's my promise. That's my homeland. That's what I'm going to take. Ain't no preacher going to talk me out of it. They don't believe the sign going to talk me out of it. There's no unbelievers. That's because I got a revelation. This is my land. I'm going to believe the report. Who have believed our report? And to whom have the arm of the Lord extended? The negative report was a lie to begin with. What I mean was a lie to begin with when it said that we are in their side as grasshoppers. That was a lie. First of all, they didn't talk to the giants. They didn't talk to the... How did they know that they were like grasshoppers in their sight? It was a lie. That was their opinion. You want proof? 40 years later, Rahab, who was living in the promised land, in Joshua 2:9, and she said unto men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. A whole lot different story from what those 10 spies come back with. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea, for when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the 2 kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. As soon as we heard these things, our heart did melt, neither will there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is the God of heaven above and the earth beneath. It just took away all doubt to Rahab. Took away all. God, the Holy Ghost is a dissolver of all doubts. You say, wait a minute, brother, you talk about these 10 spies, these 12 spies went over there, but Joshua and Caleb sent two spies. Joshua and Caleb, when they went over there to Jericho, they sent two spies. Oh, yes, that's right. Yes, sir. Yeah. First of all, Joshua doesn't learn his lesson. He wasn't going to send 12. He just sent two. Because two come back with a positive report. But that's not the real reason. The real reason was Joshua and Caleb, they didn't need to go over there by what way to go. Joshua and Caleb sent two spies into Jericho because there was a predestinated seed in there, and they had to make sure she got out of it. Had to make a way that Rahab and her family could get out of there before they destroyed it. They didn't need to spy out the land. Different report, wasn't it? Oh, I just love Rahab's report. Oh, we have heard. I mean, we've heard what happened. And as soon as we heard these things, our heart did melt. I mean, your terror has fallen upon us. I mean, I guess them two spies were the first terrorists ever. I mean, they're just terrorists. Your terror has fallen on all of us. We're just scared of all of you. That's what she said. They know that Jehovah God was with the children of Israel. So again, this evil report caused the death of the whole congregation. Think about it. The influence of 10 men caused the whole congregation to die spiritually. Jesus said, your fathers ate man in the wilderness and they are everyone dead, eternally separated, except Joshua and Caleb. All because of a negative report. All because of a negative report. If all 12 of them would come back with a positive report, they'd have go took the land. Theoretically. I wonder what will be the fate of those who left this message and listened to believe the sign and on and on and on. Perhaps what will be their fate? 2 million people died spiritually. Brother Bram, he told us, he said, they're everyone dead, spiritually separated. He said, not a one of those were saved. Not a one of them will be in heaven of those original 2 million. Not a one of them. Eternally lost. That's sad. Go read the book of Jude. Having once saved them, destroyed them. Right there in the book of Jude. Israel said, who have believed our report? So then faith cometh by the report, and report through the word of God. Now, a couple more quotes, and then we're going to show you a little something here right quick. Ed Kadish, Brother Bram says, paragraph 53, if God told them, now here's a couple of quotes that will answer some questions for you. Why? This is really striking. Why are people leaving the message? Why is there confusion around the message? Why is there criticism of the prophet? Why is this going on? You'll see right here. If God told them it was a good land, if God made all of his promises, that looked like it ought to satisfy anybody. In other words, God gave them the land, that should have satisfied, go take it. Really saying to me, why do you need a spy mission? Go take the land. Said, praise the Lord. But brother, the same God that made them that promise is making us the promise that he made them. Why do we doubt it? Why? What are you trying to say, Brother M? Is it a mixed multitude? Yes, exactly. That's right. It's a mixed multitude, and we're at Kadesh right now. Say, I never thought about a mixed multitude. Well, you better start thinking. You better wake up, start thinking right. God keeps his word, paragraph E20. Now, if you notice what caused the trouble, listen to this quote here. This is what caused the trouble. This is what's causing the trouble today. If you notice what caused the trouble, there was a mixed multitude went up with them. In other words, left Egypt. And this is why. And I got to thinking about this, Brother David. Why was there a mixed multitude followed them out of Egypt? Why? They saw the supernatural. They saw the supernatural. The supernatural had been done down in Egypt. And when the supernatural had been done, everybody flocked to it. And it caused a mixed multitude to go up with them. Brother, sister, bring it down home where we are today. What has there ever been a time that's been a supernatural done in our generation? You think if that was supernatural was done in Egypt, what about in this ministry here? What about the prophet God? Brother Ramsey said God, Christ had more success in my ministry than he did in his own. He said Christ did, not me, Christ. The miracles, the ministry, the supernatural. You don't think there's a mixed multitude around this message? You better wake up and think again, brother. Now you notice what caused the trouble. There was a mixed multitude went up with them. The supernatural had been done in Egypt. And when the supernatural had been done, everybody flocked to it. And it caused a mixed multitude to go with them, unregenerated, unconverted, hearts going up, trying to impersonate the real believer. And it's then that in the days of Noah, it was that in the days of Christ, it's prophesied in God's word to be the same thing in this day. So what do we got? A mixed multitude. You say, well, we don't have any in our church. Oh, really? That's contrary to the message. The prophet God says three kinds of believers in every assembly. I didn't write it. I'm just saying what he said. And there's a mixed multitude going up, unregenerated, hearts not conditioned, not keeping God's word, but impersonating some. Listen, friends, think of it. Was a lot of supernatural done then. Look at the supernatural done today. And even this ministry and the wonderful preachers we got in this message. Why do you think? What do you think? Don't you think the same thing today? I mean, don't you think people go? Some people, not all, some follow for the loaves and the fishes and the miracles and this and that. And they don't listen, friends. I mean, wake up. Where are we at? Got to recognize where we are. Oh, brother, no wonder we have such a mixed multitude following this message, because all the supernatural. Those who left the message and those still hanging around. Listen, there's no problem in the message. I'm talking about around the message. This message is wonderful. There's genuine saints in this message. I'm talking about the riffraff around it. Kadesh Barnea, E62. You've got a decision to make. You're Kadesh. You see it stand much longer. Why? You halt between two opinions. Why isn't the church on fire? Why isn't the place packed out with people? Why is a great sign of what we've done? Don't lay it on the pastor. It's you. We've got a mixed multitude. One pulling one way and one the other. You've got to come to a time decision. I like what he says here. If it's a pastor, fire him. Get him out of there and put somebody else in. He'll take his place. But it ain't the pastor here, I'll tell you that. If it's a deacon, take him off the board. Put somebody else and take his place. What are we going to do, brother? God put the responsibility upon you. That's it. And we've each one got to give an account for our own sins and answer at the day of judgment. Brother, this is straightforward, isn't it? So the congregation should have never, ever, ever, ever requested that spy mission. That was within itself, it was devastating and improved eternal separation. Remember, those 10 spies, they actually died quickly by a plague that God sent to them. They actually died very soon after they came back with the evil report. So faith coming by the report. God's report. And God's report is always positive. Let me read you this quote here, and then we'll go to this last little thought. Separation from unbelief. I used to be a preacher over here, and I'm going to kind of show you what I'm going to say next. I used to be a preacher over here in the Baptist church with a little sermon. I call it, Let Loose and Let God. That's right. Just let loose and let God. As long as you got yourself into it, there ain't no way. And we'll give you a little hint right here. You know who the biggest enemy I got? Is William Branham. He's always in God's way. If I can just get him out of the way, then God can go to work. That's your worst enemy is yourself. Just get yourself out of the way and then God can go to work. Now be careful of your, here's another thing. Be careful of your associates when you get out there and get among the people and this one begins to tell you this and this one that. Then you get yourself all mixed up. You don't know what to believe. As I said one time, if you're gonna pick a best friend, try to pick somebody that's more spiritual than yourself. That's good advice. Now, in closing, I need actually another hour, but I'm going to take 5 minutes or less. Because there's parallels and applications, and I got to think about these 10 evil spies. It's 10 evil reports. And I got to make it 10 plagues, 10 evil preachers, 10 this, 10 that. There's got to be some application of 10. You know, and I read through all the 10 things in the Bible, but the Lord actually showed to me the 10 worst spies in the world. And I'm going to give you their names. I know the names of these 10 evil preachers. I'm going to put it up on the board. Yeah, these 10 spies, they bring an evil report every time. You can't trust them. You shouldn't listen to them. You can't depend on them. You want to know their names? Put them on the board. Ten spies. Now I could take another hour, and you could take just see. See, taste, feel, smell, hear, conscience, reason, imagination, memory, faith. Just see. I mean, if you just say, okay, Lot looked down to Sodom and saw that the plains of Mamre and so forth. See. David looked at Bathsheba. See. He knew it was wrong. But he let see override what was right. And you could go on and on and on and on and on. Don't need to preach it because you know it's there. That's the reason I labored all this to show you these 10 spies right here is the worst ever. Because this is your worst enemy. Yourself, this flesh, this is the thing that'll lie to you. It'll tell you an evil report. It'll tell you a wrong report. It'll tell you everything that's negative. Don't listen to it. Leave it alone. It's the worst spy there ever is. And if you listen to this old flesh right here, you'll eventually be lost. Don't. Faith cometh by the report, and the report through the Word of God. Filter it through the Word of God. If it don't line up with the Word of God, forget it. I remember Brother Bam said years ago, and it's always stuck with me, the 8 years we've been in the message. He said, any revelation, mine or anybody else's, if it don't cope with this word, he said, leave it alone. I remember that from years and years and years back, Brother Darrell. Any revelation, mine or anybody else's, if it don't line with this word, you leave it alone. I don't care what they find, a new tape for the rapture, they're going to find this, or they prove the bridge. I don't care what they find. What does this Bible say about it? God sent me Elijah the prophet. God's going to take me through. God let me meet Melchizedek. I've heard from my theophany. I can go on and on and on and on. Why do I got to worry about a bridge or a birth certificate or have a little hog hunting? Why do I need to worry about that? I don't have to prove that. I don't need a spy mission. I don't need to prove any of that stuff. The unbelievers, it's the unbelievers that need a spy mission. The children of Israel, they needed a spy mission. The bride don't need a spy mission. They're going on with God. They're going to the promised land. They believe the report. Hallelujah. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord extended? Bless the name of the Lord. I don't want to fool these guys. I mean, they'll lie to you. They'll tell you all manner of evil. I mean, I just got to thinking, just the first one, see. When the 12 spies went over, we saw the sons of Anak. We saw they have a great statue. We saw the walled cities. What has that got to do with it? God gave them the land. If you know what? If they'd have never seen any of that stuff, they'd have probably went up there and fought. But they went up there and they saw all this stuff and came back. Well, we just can't do it. Brother Louis, where are you at? I want you to come, and we're having a baptismal service tonight. Would the brothers come and prepare for that? Be coming at this time. I want Brother Louis to come up, and or Joel, that'd be fine. I like to hear him sing anyway. Harry, start us out on something. We're going to worship a minute while they're making preparation for baptism. I got one if you don't know. All right.
right.
Okay, you got all right.
Go ahead. You go ahead. No.
You know what I was going to say. Sing what's on your heart. God bless you. Let's sing. Let's worship a few minutes before they have the baptism.
Brother Eric, get Brother Terry's song. He can lead us in that one. What?
I'm really happy tonight. I might get shouting myself.
What's it called, Brother Terry? I'm sorry.
Huh? Oh, my God song?
Yeah.
God is good all the time?
Yeah.
Yeah. The other version. God is good all the time. There it is. Sing it real pretty for us tonight, okay?
God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. In the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good.
Ready yet? Well, sing something else. It'll be out in just a minute.
D. The Spirit and the Bride of Sin come. The elect to be in stir inside their heart.
Praise the Lord.
Sister Ethel from my church, she's been coming for a long time. And she started out as a Baptist.
Yeah.
And not too long ago, she said, "Brother John," she said, "where's your book?" I said, "Sister Ethel, we don't have a book. He's got the book."
Amen.
And few service, she's growing and growing. She come to church and she handed me her bag of tobacco and said, "Brother John, I'll put this on the altar." Still moves.
Oh yeah.
A couple weeks ago she said, "Brother John," said, "I need to be baptized." I said, "I've been baptized the other way, but I want to be baptized right." He's still on the throne. He still moves in lives. He's still changing. If we're not changing, we're dead. But he's moving in the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. We forsake all those spies. And we look to the promise. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, you see Sister Ethel here, Lord. How that just overwhelms my heart. Lord Jesus, how, Lord, my little amen corner, Lord. How, Lord Jesus, she just sits there and absorbs the word and absorbs the word, Lord. And Lord, I see you working in her life. And I see you moving in her life, Lord. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you still have obedient children, Lord. And you still have those that are looking to that promise, Lord. That are looking at that promised land and not what they hear or see or smell, Lord Jesus, but looking to that promise, Father. And I pray, Lord Jesus, you bless my sister, Lord. I know you've moved in her life. I know, Father God, I've seen her grow, Lord Jesus, so much. And Lord, I pray that you bless her for keeping your word, for being responsive, Father God. So many times the Lord will be with us, Lord, and it takes us forever to respond, Lord. But our sister, Lord, you deal with her and she responds, Father. I pray that you just be with her and continue to help her to do that, Lord. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you bless her as I take her under this water, Lord, just water her grave and baptize her in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to what you told her, Father God. We pray that you just be with her. Bless her, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Sister Ethel, I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord!
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing to see truth. And a revelation. When they introduced the message to my wife and I, she came in the message about 6 months before I did. And I was satisfied. I wasn't satisfied, but I didn't want to change, you know, in the denomination. And so she was listening to tapes, and I didn't want to listen to tapes or whatever. So finally she said, "Come on, listen to tape. Nah. So finally I thought, well, I'll go ahead and listen to the tape, prove this man wrong and prove my wife wrong. So I finally on a Sunday afternoon, sit down and listen to the tape. I said, okay. So we sat down and listened to the life story. And of course I cried. That's my first statement. I cried through most of it. And she got down to the end and I was against it. And she said, "Well, what do you think?" And I hesitated. I said, "Have you got any more?" I mean, that quick. You talk about transformation that quick. He didn't, life story, there's no doctrine in it. There's no doctrine, it's just life story. But I believe the report. Faith comes from the report, and I believe the report. There's something about that voice, I believe that voice. There was a report behind that voice. Oh, aren't you glad about that? I know y'all, some of you might have to pick up your children out, I guess, or whatever like that. So don't want to hold you any longer, but they'll be changing. So, but we're thankful for the baptism. Amen. We're thankful to be able to see light and revelation. We're thankful for truth. I'm thankful for what God did for me. Thankful that He gave me a triple bypass. He gave me a few more years to live. I hope I don't have to see a natural death. I want to see a rapture. Amen. I want to see a body change. But I'm thankful that Daryl, He did a lot for me. I feel better, you know. And I'm just very thankful. God's so good to us. He's just all the time. Why shouldn't we love the Lord? Why shouldn't we love the Lord? Oh, brother, sister. Well, I guess just let's sing some more, and we're going to let the people be dismissed. Or, I'm sorry, forgive me. Sing for us, Joel.
Are you washed by the water?
Amen. I'm sorry, brother.
I'm just here because Louie made me come.
Yeah.
Oh, are you washed by the water?
Washed by the water.
Washed by the water of the Word. Are you washed by the water? Washed by the water of the Word. Are you washed by the water? Washed by the water of the Word. By the water, washed by the water of the Word. Sing it as you go tonight. Yes, I'm washed by the water, washed by the water of the Word. Yes, I'm washed by the water. By the water of the